Good evening, everybody. Now, you can see the microphone was set for my height, wasn't it? Sorry about that, Barry, having to look over that. Welcome, a very, very warm welcome to all of you here to this carol service this evening. No doubt we're going to have a wonderful time together singing some fantastic music, enjoying this beautiful setting this evening. But most importantly, we have come here to worship the birth of the Saviour, the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. It's a really wonderful time of year, isn't it? And no doubt, like me and our family, you've been enjoying the festivities. But of course, Christmas is just that, Christ Mass, a celebration of Jesus. And we come to celebrate his birth, his life, and even more this evening. Let's start with a prayer, and then we'll have our first Bible reading of the evening. Let us pray. Father God, we come to your throne in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you this evening, particularly for the birth, for Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you, Father, that you so loved the world, that you sent your one and only Son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Lord Jesus, we thank you that in the throne room of heaven, you agreed and came willingly, knowing the plan of sacrifice for redemption, for the forgiveness of the sins of humanity, which were many. And we thank you that you were faithful even to that cross, that you rose from the grave, you ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven, sent the Spirit to comfort us. And one day, Lord Jesus, you will return. You will come again on that great day. We look forward to that time, Lord. Although it will be troublesome, we are also grateful that we know that through faith in you, we will be safe in your hands. This evening, Lord, we give you our praise and our thanks. Father God, three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we enjoy these Bible readings, these carols, and these reflections. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to read some verses from the book of Luke, chapter 2, and our first verses are going to take us from Luke 2, 1 up to 14, and they should be there on the screen for us. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Welcome, friends. Come and have a seat. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth be peace to those on whom his favour rests." We thank the Lord for his word. Amen. Let us continue with our reading from Luke chapter 2, picking up from where we were previously, here now at verse 15, reading on to 21. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all of these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given before he was conceived, to the glory of God. Thank you. And thank you so much to our musicians for leading us so ably in our worship this evening. We really appreciate it, don't we? Thank you. Well, I was trying to work out recently how many different Christmas messages I'd ever given, and I sort of lost count because I've been standing in pulpits since I was about 17, 18, and I'm 41 now. So to some of you, that makes me ancient. Some of you, that makes me really young. But that's middle age, isn't it? And the curse of. And of course, most Christmases, you give more than one Christmas message. And so that adds up fairly quickly. And it's really tempting when it comes to this time of year and Easter too, to go to the copious archives of things that you've said in the past. And you find yourself asking, Lord, how many more things are there to say about Luke chapter 2? But this year, I must admit that I have been quite inspired as I've reflected on these passages. And I have written a new talk, which I used at St. Clair's a little while ago as well, of something that really struck me that I want to bring to you this evening, and to what the Lord's been saying through these passages. Of course, none of us know how many wise men there were. Tradition tells us there were three because there are three gifts, but scripture is vague about it. But something I tell you there were three of this year was prime ministers. Not sure if they were wise. And should I have been editing a national newspaper, not that it's likely, sometimes I find it hard to spell my name, let alone read other people's prose and check it, I would have permitted on more than one occasion during 2022, those writing copy for me to have used the word febrile. For that is how politics has been this year, hasn't it? We seem to have generated chaos out of certainty. But where is the God who brings the certainty out of the chaos? And as odd as it may sound, I want to say just a little bit this evening about the politics of Christmas. Let's just remind ourselves what happened in Luke 2, chapter 1. Caesar Augustus called a census of the entire Roman world, not just Judah, but every nation that was behest to the influence of the Roman emperor. And that was a stretch of land, a stretch of nations that effectively went from Great Britain to India, what is now modern day Italy, Greece, Spain, Gaul, North Africa, Asia Minor, and the Near East. They were all solidly part of the Roman Empire. And Rome dominated everywhere that bordered the Mediterranean Sea and beyond. And so this was a political decision back in those days that had ramification literally for millions upon millions of people in now what we call Europe and the Middle East. Luke chapter 2 verse 1 opens up with a political decision. And it was therefore an enormous political event. And on the surface, you might just think a political event it was. Although you might say that word is quite strong, some of you, political, maybe an administrative event, if I can say the word, an administrative, I won't say it again, event is a better choice of word. And hey, we all have these censuses or censi in our country every 10 years, regardless of whatever political party is in charge, because it's a civic necessity. How else do you plan roads or hospitals or schools, if you do plan roads or hospitals or schools, without having census data? I sound very cynical tonight. I don't mean to be. I'm sorry. And no doubt the relatively advanced Roman system did use some of this data to a degree for those sort of equivalent purposes in their day. But there was a cynical reason for these censuses being taken. You see, Caesar Augustus was particularly fond of a census. He liked a census, and Judah, you see, faced at least three censuses around the time of Jesus' birth. Three. There was a census in 8 BC, in 2 BC, and in 6 AD. Why? Simple. Because the Romans were empire builders. And you know what empire building takes? Money. Cash. A lot of it. It took a huge amount of Roman taxation to keep that army going, to build the roads, to finance the military, to keep conquering the known world and beyond. Caesar's diary was pretentiously called this. He had it on the front cover. The Deeds of Divine Augustus. What a pretentious fellow. And he recorded in his diary his so-called divine deeds, that he ordered a widespread census of Roman Empire at least three times, in 28 BC, 8 BC, and 14 AD. In short, all of these censuses were to get a measure of how rich people were so the maximum amount of tax could be extracted from them to continue with world domination. My goodness, he sounds like a Bond villain, doesn't he? But just let that sink in for a moment. Luke 2, 1 to 2, I read it again. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. Mary, Joseph, and the extended family had just been through an incredible supernatural experience with God recently. Mary's cousin's husband had been dumbstruck while serving as a priest in the temple. Then, in an experience reminiscent of Abraham and Sarah, his elderly wife, Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, had found herself with child. And this was incredible enough in itself, but they were married and had the physical relationship that reflected that. So how much more miraculous then when the angel Gabriel appeared to the Virgin Mary to deliver the news of her pregnancy? And she had obviously been listening in her biology classes, for she pointed out, how will this happen? Because I haven't done the prerequisite actions. And this isn't to mention the obvious turbulence that this would have caused in her relationship with Joseph, who before his visitation from the angel clearly thought the worst. Not to mention what the wider community would have thought when they judged her. That's what was going on in their life. But meanwhile, God and politics, eh? Never mix them. Trouble is, God doesn't believe that. Although I have great reservations about throwing around the idea that one political party is on God's side and the other lot are just Philistines, which makes the problems very hard to critique. Go and have a look at our American cousins in recent years for more information. God has no problem actually in getting stuck in. How do we know? Well, let's think. I can just hear Mary now. Oh, Joseph, you must be kidding. Here's me falling like the size of a small country, still processing this visitation from an angel, dealing with snide looks from all of the other women down the marketplace, somehow pregnant, which I can't get my head around, but apparently it's a miracle. And now this foreign emperor who has no right ruling our nation anyway, wants me to get on the back of that donkey and ride 90 miles to your hometown, not even mine, your hometown, so he can simply count how many denarii he's going to extract from you for his next war. Brilliant. That's how I'd feel anyway. And I don't know if the rest of you here, particularly the ladies, might feel the same. Quite how Caesar Augustus, who clearly thought himself to be divine, was able to make his own decisions whilst at the same time merely doing the will of God, I will never understand this side of heaven. He was calling the census for his own benefit. But I tell you this, it was God's plan that they went to Bethlehem. Listen to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Mary and Joseph had to make that journey, for Bethlehem was the place where God had predestined the birth of his son. So was it just random timing? Good time. They're on their way to Bethlehem. God thought, should we capitalize on that? Not at all. John the Baptist was already born and Mary was already pregnant. The political will was merely trumped and played by the divine will. The so-called divine Caesar Augustus was doing his emperor building thing, but he didn't know that at the end of the day, despite all his pomp and power, he was just a pawn for the kingdom of God Almighty. Why was there a census? Because Mary and Joseph had to be taken to Bethlehem. Plain and simple, it was the divine providence of a holy God. And so as you reflect on the year that's gone, and maybe with some trepidation, look to the year to come, and maybe you wring your hands over another newspaper headline, can I encourage you with this truth? Although we pray and desire decent, honest, God-fearing politicians who make wise and just choices, although we want war to end and peace to spread and an economy that works for everyone and a society that honours the poor and the just remember this. The politician is much less powerful than they think. And God, he is much more mighty than you can ever imagine. All those years ago, God used a broken political system to usher in a new kingdom, a new king, the King of Kings, Emmanuel, God with us. And when you're tempted to despair, because the waves crash upon the foundations of life, keep your eyes fixed firmly upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Because with Emmanuel, the decision of man and the power of the system is nothing. Because God, the Almighty, is in full control. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, if the world was to plan the entrance of the King of Kings, it is unlikely that the birth would happen in a lowly stable, witnessed by humble shepherds and marked by the gifts of people who had travelled hundreds of miles outside of that system and that culture. But Lord Jesus, you came in your humility because you had nothing to prove. Hands that threw stars into space. The second person of the Trinity there at the creation of the entire universe made a babe for us. Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you are in control. We thank you that all history is in your hands. The whole world is in your hands. And although there are points where we tremble and shake, where we are frustrated and annoyed, we know that you are sovereign, that you are King of Kings, that you are Lord of Lords, that you will, Lord Jesus, come again, and that we are safe in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Indeed, O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord, Christ indeed the Lord of heaven and of earth. O Christian, take heart, take comfort in that the King of Kings is still that, the King of all, the King of glory. Trust in the Saviour. As it says here behind me, salvation is of the Lord, and his name is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Pray that peace and the blessing of God on you this Christmas time and evermore. In Jesus' name, amen.